Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Have you noticed what's missing right now, Lee?
What, there's something missing?
Yeah, there's something
missing. Did I miss something?
Yes, you did. You should be covering a GOP Senate primary. Right? Except, you know, for Lindsey Graham's seat. Except there isn't one. I mean, like, technically there's one. There'll be one on the first Tuesday of June. But there's nothing to cover. And this is amazing. There is literally no race going on. I mean, there's people challenging Lindsey Graham. I mean, technically, they've paid the filing fee. They're going to be on the ballot. But, I mean, we are less than 3 months out from that Republican primary for Lindsey's seat. And you would have no idea. Which basically means one of his challengers, I think, for a while was running a few ads here and there. That stopped. You would have no idea that this was going on and that Lindsey Graham was on the ballot, that you could vote for him. Because there's no primary. I mean, normally in a primary that's contested like this in a state, like if you have real challengers, they'd be in the heat of it right now, throwing punches, press conferences, ads, sliming each other. You know how it goes. There's nothing. He's going to just literally walk right back into office with no opposition. I mean, again, there are names on the ballot. But these people just really, I mean, literally have, I guess, no budget, and that's it. I think it's over. I mean, I hate to declare it over 3 months in advance, but I think it's over.
Well, as far as fundraising is concerned, apparently the senator has done very well for himself.
Yeah, he's pulling in $1 million a month at one point. I haven't looked lately. $3 million a quarter. Which is totally unbelievable. And what's really interesting is I have seen quite a few ads online. I think they do have an online ad thing going for Lindsey. I haven't seen a ton of stuff otherwise. I think he's honestly trying not to remind people he's running for office. You know, and if you notice, you know, he's at the point where about another month goes by and he's in like Flynn. I mean, you can't mount a campaign to take a guy down with cash like that down in 2 months. It's over. And if you've noticed, as he gets more and more confident, he's beginning to sound more and more like his old self. He's out there trashing Trump every other day, repeating Democrat talking points, thanking Adam Schiff for his wonderful testimony and how well-spoken he is. I mean, that's a real Lindsey. And you can see, as there is literally zero campaign in the state to take him out, that he's getting bolder again. I mean, he's beginning to slip back into what he'll be after June. Because once June is over, I mean, the Democrats not going to beat him. So he's done. Now, think about something else here. This is very interesting. Do you remember back in October, he went on Maria Bartiromo's show? Maria, like, threw the gauntlet down, right? And Maria's like, dude, are you ever going to hold hearings?
Yeah.
Because he chairs the most critical committee, the Judiciary Committee, for, you know, FISA abuse, FBI abuse, DOJ abuse. I mean, we now know, fact, 17 cases of perjury before the FISA court, every one of them a felony, right? And do you remember what Lindsey said he was going to do? He said he was waiting for the Michael Horowitz report. He sat on the gavel all year, like a mama goose on her eggs, doing nothing, nothing. And protected that gavel, wouldn't let anybody else have it. Says he'll resign from the chairmanship after the race is over, or after the election's over, right? He's doing this for his donors, right? So he says back in October, he tells Maria, yeah, I'm going to have hearings on all this. I'm going to get to the bottom of this, boy, after the Horowitz report comes out. Well, Horowitz report's been out for a while, sir. Nothing. Nothing. So he wasted a year. He's had the gavel since January. It's February now, so it's been a little over a year. Hadn't done a damn thing. He had a Horowitz in and asked him some questions, like he said he would, for 2 days. And then, nothing. Nothing. And he's getting more and more and more confident. So then he said, what's been now, like a week ago? He was going to have hearings on FISA. See an announcement of any hearings?
No. House Republicans are trying to, well, they boycotted a session yesterday with the House Judiciary Committee that Adam Schiff chairs, or House and Government, I forgot which committees, but Schiff's committee that he chairs. They boycotted that yesterday in protest of him not taking up any investigation of the Inspector General regarding the false FISA request.
And when Lindsey went on Bartiromo, he made it sound like, well, I'm going to investigate this FISA thing, you know, after the report comes out. I want to see the report. Well, he didn't investigate Jack. He did a quick hearing with Horowitz, and he hasn't done a thing. So now he's doing another media tour talking about how somebody ought to get to the bottom of the FISA thing. Well, that somebody's him. And so, I mean, he's run down the clock, Lee. He's got 3 months left. Protect the deep state. If he gets past that first Tuesday in June primary, he can just sit on that gavel for the rest of the year and do nothing. Heck, he's already sat on it for a year. And he's flat out said, I'm not going to resign, you know, step down from the committee chairmanship until after the election. Well, you know why that is. He's got to get the deep state through this year completely protected from any kind of real public scrutiny up until his election, yes, but also Trump's. So there's only three avenues that we get to the bottom of this. Either Barr indicts, Barr declassifies as Trump has ordered him to, but he hasn't bothered to, or Lindsey starts holding hearings. And Richard Burr sure as heck isn't holding hearings. He's practically a Democrat from North Carolina. So you got Burr and Graham holding the line on hearings, protecting the deep state, protecting the deep state. I mean, when you look at what Lindsey Graham is ignoring right now, it is jaw-dropping. That we literally have found out, we're 2 weeks in now, we know 17 cases of perjury before the FISA court, DOJ and FBI, absolutely unequivocally undeniable. Where are the hearings? Where are they? There aren't going to be any, that's why. And I got to say, Lee, the closer he gets to that primary and there isn't a single ad run against him, there's not anything serious in terms of his, the other candidates being able to do anything with him. He's not paying any kind of penalty for protecting the deep state. Why should he hold hearings?
Well, there's pretty much nobody that's got the name recognition that could really do much with him as far as the primary is concerned.
Yeah, and I'm not blaming them. You would need a ton of cash.
Yeah.
And you'd have to have built that name ID already, and you'd have to be in the second phase of the campaign. I know, because I've run a statewide.
Yeah.
You'd have to be in the second phase of the campaign. First, you build the name recognition. You can't go negative till you build the name recognition. It doesn't work. You'd have to be in the negative phase by now. It's too late. Yep. And you give it one more good month, especially, it's really too late. But
unless
right now,
Andre
it's Bauer
wants to come back and make another run at it. I don't see anything happening. I mean, he's the only statewide politician that's got the name recognition across the state. You know, even our U.S. congressmen are pretty much only known in their districts. I mean, you know, we like to think that Jeff Duncan and Ralph Norman and folks like that. Of course, Joe Wilson, famous for saying you lied to President Obama during that State of the Union speech. But, they don't really have the statewide name recognition that someone like a governor or ex-lieutenant governor or a U.S. Congress, well, a U.S. senator would have. So,
yeah. And what do you want to bet we go all the way to the primary and without a single hearing held on any of this by Lindsey?
No, that's...
I'm willing to bet my money.
Not surprising.
No, not surprising. So, I mean, this is a guy looking at absolute overt lawlessness. I mean, this is not my opinion. This is the opinion of the head of the FISA court, the Osborne, not the chief justice, but the ranking judge. Sitting there staring him in the face, waiting for hearings, waiting for anyone on Capitol Hill to take action. I mean, we now know we have a DOJ and an FBI that lies over and over and over and over to the courts in a way that is criminal, in a way that is perjury.
Man, this is sort of like
think about this. Where are the hearings? Where's the interest?
Well, all of this is sort of like the whole Roger Stone situation. In that you have Tucker Carlson had last night, it was pointing out that you've got Clapper and you've got Brennan who are on video lying to Congress. Right there. No prosecution.
Absolutely.
But yet you have Roger Stone. And listen, I think he's nuts.
Yeah.
But
I do
Roger
too.
Stone, the only reason he's there is because he, like several others, were caught up in this false, phony collusion narrative. Caught up in that, got themselves into trouble for, at least that's what the prosecution says, that they were lying to the FBI or whatever. And this guy's facing 9 years in prison. for something that, you know, people who are violent offenders would not be sentenced for that long.
Let me just pull these two articles, okay? One of them, the first one's from The Guardian, right? Big international liberal publication out of the UK, right? This is 2014, excuse me. CIA Director John Brennan lied to you in the Senate. Fire him. And it talks about how he broke the law spying on Senate staffers and actual senators who were investigating the CIA. He cannot do that. He did it anyway. Didn't care. That's a crime. And then he lied about it. Mm-hmm. Another crime. Again, the Liberal Guardian, not me, The Guardian. Yeah. Washington Post, July 31st, 2014. I'm looking at this one. Obama should fire John Brennan. Why? Same thing I just said. He broke the law twice as head of the CIA, illegally spying. And by the way, one of the people he spied on was Lindsay, which is what's fascinating.
Yeah.
Lindsay will tell you. I mean, I have him on tape. I was spied on. He was by John Brennan. He didn't care. So, this is Washington Post. Obama should fire John Brennan. Documents the law breaking in terms of the spying. Documents the law breaking in terms of lying under oath. By the way, Brennan lied under oath yet again when he testified before Congress and said that they did not use the Steele report at all, the Steele dossier at all. They did, and he knew it. So you got, I mean, there's two instances of perjury. Those are felonies plus illegal spying. That's getting another felony. And Brennan's just walking around doing hits on television.
Mm-hmm.
And the only people who are ultimately going to be able to hold him responsible are people like Lindsey Graham. And I'm picking on him because this is the Judiciary Committee. This is exactly where you take up those 17 FISA applications we keep hearing again and again and again. And damn if Lindsey doesn't have time. He's too busy doing a hit on television, talking about how somebody else ought to do something and counting on the fact that you don't know that he is the guy. His committee is the one he chairs is the one that has the jurisdiction. He's running cover for the deep state. He's just as bad as those guys. It's just as bad. And he's going to walk. He's going to walk back into office. I'm going to walk right back in. I mean, can he even find the gavel, Lee? You know, I was thinking about this the other day. You know what job would be great to have, like if I didn't have this great radio gig? Staffer for the Senate Judiciary Committee. Do nothing. All day long, there's no hearings. Nothing to research. Get great, you know, government health benefits. Paid vacation. Can't beat it. Do nothing. You know? So if you can get that gig, congratulations. At least while Lindsay's holding the gavel.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
New survey. What technological leap has changed your life the most in the last decade? Well, you know, if you think about it, truly. I mean, we've seen changes across our lives. I can remember when it was a big deal. One day after school, we all went, my whole family, and bought a fax machine. True story. Loaded in the trunk and everything. Because this was the new hot thing, right? At the time, the fax machine, it was amazing. Like, fax machine for your home. They already had them in, like, businesses by then. But we didn't have one for our house. And we went together and bought it. I was a little kid, but I still remember it. We plugged it in. We set it up. And we were amazed by the technology. You know, but the last decade, holy cow. Anyway, the question was, what technological leap changed your life the most in the last decade? Number one answer? I'm surprised by this, actually. High-speed internet. So not internet, but high-speed internet. That wouldn't have been my number one. Anyway, the top three, high-speed internet was number one. Number two, online shopping. That's a big one for me. That has really changed my life. And then number three, streaming services like Netflix. Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how many hours in the car I've saved with online shopping. It really is a time saver. So that's what people are saying makes the biggest difference. Same survey. This is interesting. Almost half of people say that it has been just in the last 5 years, this is so true, that their phone has become more useful than their computer. Yeah, I see that too. Almost seems a hassle now to get the thing. It seems so antiquated. Anyway, Amazon by far, of course, the most popular online shopping site, and Netflix the most popular streaming service, followed by YouTube and Amazon. Texter writes, number one should be iPhone. I agree with that. Or Samsung. Some of us are partial to that. Texter writes, I remember going to Radio Shack with my family and buying a Tandy 1000 computer. Well, you know, we did that too. We got, yes. And we had the dot printer. And the computer was so heavy that my dad was the only one in the family that could lift it. Nobody else could safely do it. We had dropped it on the floor. And I remember being jealous because, you know, they used to come preloaded with Space Invaders. Remember that program? It was like the only video game, right? I'm dating myself. They'd come preloaded with Space Invaders. I was so excited because all my friends' computers had Space Invaders. And you would, you know, tap the bar to fire, like the space bar. And I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And my computer didn't come preloaded with Space Invaders. I was so bummed. Golly, the technological jump. And now I just, you know, when me and Crash, we read books at night, I pick up the laptop, we walk over to the couch, we sit down, and all of his books for school are online. I haven't bought a book in a long time for a kid. They're just all online, they're free. It's awesome. Texter writes, high-speed internet makes the other two possible. I guess we don't appreciate it as much. Texter writes, how can someone argue that the framers didn't want a popular vote, yet they base electoral systems on the population of a state? Otherwise, each state would have one electoral vote regardless of population. The best evidence for that, honestly, is the Senate. Senators, you know, to California, two senators, two votes in the Senate. Maine, two senators, two votes in the Senate. The framers did not know. They absolutely did not want a popular vote. They rigged the whole system so that it would not be a democracy deliberately. Remember, when we had the first presidential election, do you know what percent of the population could vote? Do you know? 6%. Had to be male. Had to be a landowner. Otherwise, forget it. And they were still terrified that the mob would take everything. Had to be male, had to be a landowner. There was one other, and I can't remember what it was. Forget what it was. But you had to do that. And so they deliberately rigged it so that, okay, yes, it's representation by population in the House, but not in the Senate. Not in the Senate. They didn't want little states run over by big states. And they took those two powers and abutted them next to each other. You can't look at the way they constructed Congress and even for a moment think they wanted a popular vote. If they did, we'd just have Congress. We'd just have one House. We'd just have the House. And everything would be distributed by population. It's not. It's absolutely is not. But thanks for your text. Texter writes, you may not appreciate high-speed internet that much, but I guarantee it's had a larger impact on your life than just about anything. Wow. You folks in the text line kill me. Texter writes, hey, Tara, my wife doesn't need to buy me anything for Valentine's Day. Just greet me at the door wrapped in cellophane.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I just often wonder what runs through the minds of some of our texters as they text me. But I'm glad that they share their innermost thoughts and secrets with me.
And sometimes we're not.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm not. No. Now, here's another one. The internet belongs to Satan. Unfortunately, we all have to use it, including myself. I still love the text line. I do. Sometimes I sit here and just die laughing. Texter writes, oh, yeah, don't forget GPS, Tara. I still remember having to print out MapQuest directions every time I needed to go somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, those were a nightmare, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Talk about distracted driving.
Yeah, tell you what. You were going somewhere in North Vermont. You were getting a tour of most of North Vermont by the time you got there. Especially if it was rural. The rural directions were a nightmare. They just did not have that nailed down. Texter writes, in 1985, I vividly remember going to the Curtis Mathis TV store and getting a VCR for the first time. It had a wired remote that I thought was the greatest thing ever. And it was.
Yeah.
It was. You know what my mother-in-law did? No joke, she would have my dear husband, Rambo Loco, and his brother sit in front of the television while she watched her shows. Mm-hmm. So that they could get up. She didn't have a remote and change the channel for her.
There you go.
And adjust the volume. They couldn't leave. They had to sit there.
Child labor.
Yeah. See, he's none the worse off for it.
No.
He's just fine. Anyway. So there's all that going on. Meanwhile, I just want to read these stats because they're good. We had a lot of negative stats yesterday. You could find just as many awesome stats about this election and the way things are going in America. I like these, so I'll read them. This is from Gallup. And believe me, we've done the other side, too, have we not, over the last couple of years?
This is true, yes.
Okay. Gallup, not a conservative polling outfit.
Not in the least.
Okay. 61% of Americans say they're better off than they were 3 years ago. Highest recorded level for Trump, George W. Bush, Obama, H.W., or Clinton. Only 36% say they aren't better off. But listen to this. That's significantly better than the 52% who said they were not better off at this point in 2012 when Barack Obama was reelected.
Yeah.
So 52% said they were not better off. So that's upside down.
Yep.
So that's really cool. Where it gets and Democrats is generally disgruntled. They watch television that tells them that the economy's bad, so that's what they think. Only 29% of Democrats say they are better off than, you know, they were 4 years ago. But here's the thing. Here's where it gets interesting. Independents and how they perceive the economy in this Gallup survey. A whopping 60% of independents believe they're better off now than they were 3 years ago. That's the highest in 30 years.
Well, there's probably 39% that just don't want to admit it.
I think that's what it is. They're just trying to skew the polls. Highest in 30 years. So, I mean, there it goes on the stack. I mean, what's the stack up to now? It's over 6 inches thick. It's just good economic news. And I only put records in the stack.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look at it. Look at the thing. It's ridiculous. It keeps falling over on my equipment. Then I got to pick it up. It's a mess.
Yeah. Engineering wants to talk with you about that.
Yeah. They don't like me much. But that's okay because I got to keep it all. You know what I mean? So I can refer to it. I like to watch it grow. It's just, it's amazing, you know, to watch that. And, you know, such good news as well. Meanwhile, people buzzing about, I mean, you want to know what a kangaroo court looks like? Here you go. Roger, have you heard about this? This is from Fox News. Roger Stone jury foreperson's anti-Trump social media post. Okay. She's a member of the jury. She's elected foreman, right?
Okay.
The attorneys for Stone had tried to have her struck, but the judge, Democrat donor Amy Berman, who's a, you know, practically a Democrat activist when she's not prosecuting and persecuting people for, you know, their connections to Trump.
Right.
Denied it. Despite this, the fact that this woman is literally a left-wing activist who has weighed in on social media against Roger Stone. And this is like, I mean, I have sat through so much jury selection. If you wrote all over social media, the jerk deserves to die for the murder.
Yeah.
I mean, what judge in this country besides Amy Berman is not going to strike even the jury? You can't do that.
I mean, if you even say that you know the person, you're
supposed to
be excused.
And you're out there conducting a campaign against them on social media when you're not serving as the jury foreman? What the heck is this, China? You know, and Trump is tweeting about this, and he's right. I mean, I love how he put this tweet. I mean, the whole thing, the irony. Okay, now it looks like the foreperson in the jury in the Roger Stone case had significant bias. Add that to everything else, and this is not looking good for he puts justice in quotes, department.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His own justice department. Where do I even begin, right?
Exactly.
It has emerged that U.S. District Judge Amy Berman Jackson denied a defense request to strike a potential juror who was, get this, an Obama-era press official. With admitted anti-Trump views, whose husband worked at the same Justice Department division that handled the probe leading to Stone's arrest in the first place.
Oh, good grief.
I'm sorry, Lee, I was a crime reporter. I've sat through years of jury selection. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I've been through some jury selection.
Yes!
There's no way that...
Felt like it took years, probably, but
yeah.
There's no way. Wait. Your husband works in the homicide department at the police department, the very department that put the defendant here on the stand, you're gone. You're gone. Get out of here. What the heck is this? Yeah. Another stone juror, Seth Cousins, donated to former Democratic presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke and other progressive causes. Federal election records reviewed by Fox Chef.
Now you know why they want to do these trials in Washington.
Yes, you know why? Do you know, by the way, do you know what population percentage of the population of D.C. went for Hillary? 90.
Oh, I was figured it had to be 90%.
It was 90%. I mean, no joke, that it was 90%.
And then those other 10% haven't been seen since. Because you don't diss Hillary.
Yeah. Listen, this is the absurdity, okay? The drama began when Hart confirmed to CNN and the jury member and other media organizations Wednesday that she had written a Facebook post supporting the Justice Department prosecutors in the Stone case, who abruptly stepped down from their post on Tuesday, saying she can't keep quiet any longer. You're on the damn jury.
Yeah.
The prosecutors apparently objected after the senior DOJ officials overrode their recommendation that to Jackson that Stone face up to 9 years in prison. I mean, have we all not seen, like, jury sequester? You're not supposed to read anything or hear anything about the case.
Yeah.
These people are out there making news advocating against Stone. How?
And the very party that claims to be concerned about justice.
Listen,
just visceral hatred for anybody involved with the Trump administration. And listen, I think Roger Stone is a clownish figure. I think he's out there. He's nuts. But, you're allowed to do that in this country, to be nuts. And for him to get caught up in this whole thing, and the whole thing was started because of a lie to begin with. I mean, he's been found guilty of a process crime. He's not a hardened criminal. He has no criminal background whatsoever. This guy's 67 years old. Period. And he's caught up in a process crime because of an illegal investigation of the president.
Yep. Oh, my gosh. The cellophane thing has caught on the text line.
Oh, gosh.
Texter writes, if my wife met me at the door in cellophane, I would go back outside and check the house number first. Well, always a good idea. You don't want to make that mistake. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm just having fun with this. Texter writes, my dad attached a long, small chain to the knob on the TV. When he wanted to change the channel, he would whip the chain to change the channel.
Wow.
He wore a groove in the hardwood floor of our den. See, that was back in the days before remote, which, many people alive don't even remember that. They can't find the remote.
Well, that's my problem.
They panic. They can't find it. TV's not going on.
That's what that's the thing. We've got the Apple TV, and it's got this tiny little remote with these tiny, and you just look for it, and it changes the channel. I really want to talk to the folks at Apple about that. It's not a very good remote at all. But yeah, that thing's so small, it can slip between the cushions and the sofa here in a heartbeat, and it's gone.
Nothing gets people's ire up in my house. If we cannot find the remote, everybody freaks out.
Oh, yeah.
They all stop what they're doing. We all panic and we look for it. Because, do you realize this? Like, TVs have gotten to the point where you're like, dang, I don't have the remote. I can't even turn it on. I don't even know how to turn it on.
Well, they hide the buttons these days.
I know. Where is it?
They'll put them on the back, the sides, the bottom. They won't be labeled. They'll just have some little stupid international symbol. Is this on or off? I have no idea. Which one's the power? I have no idea.
And you used to be, you could have the one remote, right? But no, not anymore.
Yeah.
It takes an interplay of two remotes.
Oh, yeah.
Which, ups the chances of losing one, and then the whole thing just breaks down.
And you got to download an app, and you have to get a code word, so.
Yeah, and then you forget the code word?
Yeah.
Oh, nightmare. Used to be so much easier, you just hit the button, and the TV would come on.
Yeah.
Text writes, Haley, it's a gum stick remote. I know what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. That's about the right size of it, yeah.
Text writes, put the Apple TV remote app on your iPhone, Lee.
Yeah, I've got that, but then I've got to reach into my pocket to get my phone, so.
Yeah, and that just takes
so too much energy.
I know. Text writes, Tara, before colored TV, we had a piece of colored cellophane that made it look like colored TV. Really? Is that a real thing? Now the texter writes, can't talk now. Have to go get lots of cellophane. I hope that's that guy's wife. He still held out hope that that's what she'll get him for Valentine's Day. Texter writes, if you are guilty, talking about Roger Stone. If you are guilty of a process crime during an illegal investigation created from a process crime, are you really guilty of anything? Whoa. Dude. That's deep. The answer is only if you are a Republican. If you're a Democrat, oh, heck no. Moving on. Texter writes about the TV discussion. Oh, the horror of first world problems. Oh, by the way, another great text on that, on the Roger Stone thing. This is, somebody sent me this link. Listen to this, okay? Let me just, if you want to see something that demonstrates the absolute complete absurdity of what used to be called justice in America, but is now a joke. Headline. This is from the Gateway Pundit. And this actually happened. CNN has on serial liar Andrew McCabe, former head of the acting director of the FBI, to discuss deep state case against Trump supporter Roger Stone. Okay, think about this for a minute. Okay. The Inspector General of the United States released a report showing that when he was the acting director of the FBI, McCabe, Andrew McCabe, lied to Congress under oath four times. That's a crime. It's perjury. It's a felony. The Inspector General of the United States then referred McCabe to the DOJ for prosecution. That fool was on the TV last night, Andrew McCabe, discussing with outrage, okay, with outrage, the deep state case against Roger Stone. Because it's always been McCabe's position that it's okay if he lies to Congress under oath, but if you lie to the FBI, or he just says you did because they don't record these things, then you should go down 7 to 9 years. That's McCabe's position. That's pretty much the position of most injustice in America. I mean, if that doesn't tell you everything, if that does not show you, I mean, that is insane. Again, the text, this is not a conspiracy theory. No, it's not. We reported it. The Inspector General of the United States released a report showing McCabe lied to Congress four times, then referred him to the DOJ for prosecution. He's walking around commenting on this on CNN, outraged about Roger Stone, demanding justice. That's hysterical. He's still under investigation, by the way, but CNN doesn't care. The more you lie if you're on the left, and the more convincing you are when you lie, the more employable you are at CNN. Texter writes, oh, the horror of first world problems, talking about TV remotes and such. Another texter writes, why do giant tractors and trailers have smaller turn signals than cars? I do not know. Another texter writes, my grandmother had a 6 foot wide TV console. What? Had a 6 foot wide TV console, had a TV in the center, a phonograph player on the left, and a radio on the right. To change the channel with the remote, you could also drop a dime on a glass table and the channel would change. Sounds fabulous. If you had a dime. Texter writes, first world problems, can't be bothered to reach into my pocket to get my palm top computer to change the channel on my 75-inch 4K TV. I'll just watch what's on. But come on, we've all done it. We've all done it. Another texter writes, did you hear Stranger Things only has 2 seasons left? So says Veronica. Say it, say it ain't so. Are you kidding me? You know, I got to say, well, I had 2 more. Yeah, you know what? That would keep me hungry for a third, because at a third, I think it'd jump the shark. Another texter writes, my daughter won't even watch cartoons. It has to be CGI 3D animation. Oh, well then. Just park her in front of YouTube, some grainy video. She'll be fine.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.